What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, October 9th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside constantly calibrating Josh Silverman. Round of applause. Thank you,
Thank you,
Greg.
Thank you.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, no.
Justin didn't even clap for you today.
It was pretty weak.
Exactly. Yesterday, you were all about it.
He's taking photos.
Yeah. You got a lot of trouble. You're in a lot of trouble.
He's wonderful.
Josh, what do you do with Constantly Calibrating?
That's a damn good question, Greg. I'm the co-founder of Constantly Calibrating, and I do PR for us. I lead hosts. I really do everything anyone else isn't doing.
Okay. How big is Constantly Calibrating now?
We are about... six full-time members with another like 2 to 4 people who come in and out and do stuff with us. Writers, co-hosts, you know, that sort of thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Some good stuff.
How long have you been doing it? We talked a little bit about Constantly Calibrating yesterday,
but it was
more about the co-host's life.
Because he's
self-centered.
I've been doing this 6.5 years, March 10th of 2012.
Okay.
Was literally just a podcast for my then best friend and I just to discuss Mass Effect 3. It had just released and we decided, screw it, let's just turn on a microphone. We've never done this before. Let's see what happens. Found like a $10 microphone with a bad wire and did that. And then the ending controversy happened.
Yeah.
So we did a second episode because we actually had no issues. Well, minimal issues with
sure.
it. And then, wow, I like talking to him with a microphone in front of us. And we parted ways at one point, but then different people came aboard. We changed. We constantly calibrated.
And
here we are.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, you guys have been around a lot. You know what I mean? I see you at a lot of events. And that's mm-hmm. the thing. You know, yesterday I was talking, obviously, about being the first interview or whatever. But it is that thing that you are still there. You're still at every, RTX. I see you at other shows. Constantly Calibrating is everywhere.
Yeah, we've been doing RTX since 2012. That was an event I literally didn't know what media meant. I saw an application. I'm like, well, this sounds fun.
And seems like us.
24 hours later, I was asked if I wanted Bernie Burns and Matt Hullum on the podcast. And I'm like, I've never interviewed a person before. Sure, let's see where this goes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been doing RTX. Did our first E3 this year. Did my first panel at a PAX event this year with PAX West. And then... we had the opportunity to take part in your guys' tournament at PAX West.
It's been a
banner year for me, to use a kind of cliched term.
No, that's, I mean, I guess the question I would have for you, right, is, you know, again, 2018 seems to be the year of me trying to give people voices on mm-hmm. Kinda Funny Games Daily. For you, what keeps you guys going, right? You're not IGN. You're mm-hmm. never going to be GameSpot.
No.
Like, for you, what is the thing to get out there and bust your ass and not have a huge return on it, right? Is this your only job, Constantly Calibrating?
I'm a stay-at-home dad,
yeah.
pretty much. I had a marketing job last year. I'm also in school for marketing right now because I'm not doing quite enough yet. But this is pretty much mostly what I do. What keeps me going, it's changed kind of every year because for a while there, it was just pure determination. I knew we had a good product. Not a lot of people were watching or listening. Then it just kind of just turned into, I realized it actually made me happy. I went through a really bad spell of depression last few years.
Sure.
And we've talked about that privately before. But, I've gone through a lot of different stuff. And it just was what makes me happy. My family makes me happy. My kids make me happy. And I realized my team makes me happy. And then doing this kind of content makes me happy. Okay, well, how can I actually make it make me happy, make others happy as well? And then it was in the last year, we've gotten more regulars, more of a community really built up.
Sure.
And it's the positive emails they send me, the comments they send me. That's what keeps me going. And just, I like to make, I was a negative asshole for 30 years. and I don't want to be that person anymore. And this makes me feel positive. It makes me feel like I can bring something to some people. So, and also, I get to talk to you guys and
stuff
like that.
Yeah.
So that's a nice little perk.
For the podcast, where can people keep up with it? When can they keep up with it?
We have a few podcasts, actually. But primarily, everything Justin said yesterday, if you look up Con Cal Pod or Constantly Calibrating, you'll find this everywhere. But the Constantly Calibrating podcast is on iTunes and Spotify. That's our kind of our interview show,
you know,
that kind of thing. I do show... most of our shows pretty much get live streamed on mixer.com/concalpod.
Okay.
And we got a new gaming show premiering soon. Then the end of the month, we're premiering the highest budget thing I've ever put money into.
Wow.
A pen and paper show called Proper Villains Podcast.
Nice.
Monthly thing where we...
Are you playing or just talking about
playing,
it?
Okay. Playing, yeah. Okay. So kind of like Mixer doesn't have the pen and paper community kind of thing that Twitch... Twitch has. Twitch has, Critical Role, all those kind of
things. Critical Role, never heard of them.
Never heard of them. But Mixer doesn't really have that. They have some people who are screen capturing Roll20 stuff, which is fine.
Yeah.
I wanted to put some money into it. So I create, you know, I had our team, we have like people we commission for art stuff, had them make these like nice, essentially digital sets for us. And we're bringing guests on and we're bringing guest DMs on and GMs awesome. And playing different games. And most of us have never played a pen and paper game. So it'll be a complete shit show.
No, good. That's all right. We're used to that here.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, good luck. And I'm glad you finally made it to this table with me.
Yeah.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD, with your questions, comments, bad PSN names, and everything else under the video game sun. Then watch us record it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job to do. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. I already like Justin better than you. You know what I mean?
No.
Right, Justin? Am I right? He's over there.
That was his thing. I didn't want to steal the thunder.
You know what?
My thing was going to be, I'm a complete klutz. I figured I'd just throw it up in the air.
I staple him so you can't stop that.
Yeah, I know.
Housekeeping for you. If you didn't know, Extra Life 2018 is November 3rd. We here at Kinda Funny will be streaming games and shenanigans for 24 hours as we raise money for the Children's Miracle Network Children's Hospitals. You can join the team and stream on your own or just donate to us right now at kindoffunny.com/extralife. And then today we're brought to you by Brooklyn, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the... Nope, I'm sending it back, Joey. If you bring the mug, you gotta write on how many days there are for Christmas. You can't. It's a bit. You can't break the bit. Do you know where I keep my chalk?
It's
in my top drawer in my little filing cabinet. That's not her job. I'm lucky she doesn't throw my face. The Roper Report. Time for some news. Audio listeners so confused by what just happened. Six items on the Roper Report. Cool, Greg.
A baker's dozen.
And there's a lot of meaty ones on here. The lead story, not that meaty, but then it kind of leads in. I'll get to it. Number one, shocker. There's a PlayStation 5 in development, or a next-generation PlayStation in development. Mm-hmm. Joe Screbbles, a made-up name from IGN.com, wrote the article there and says, they won't call it PlayStation 5 right now, but Sony has finally confirmed that, yes, it has another console on the way. Speaking to the Financial Times, Sony CEO Kenichiro Yoshida said, quote, at this point, what I can say is it's necessary to have a next-generation hardware. Yoshida wouldn't confirm a name or explain what form that hardware would take. Thank you, Joe. I love you very much. She writes something mean on it. Some. There's some days till Christmas. Thank you, Joey. What form that hardware would take. The Financial Times reports that its sources have said that the upcoming console might not represent a major departure from the PlayStation 4 and that the fundamental architecture would be similar.
Hmm.
Shocking, Josh, right?
Yeah, I never thought I'd see the day that we had PlayStation like 5.
They're working on another PlayStation right now?
What?
Wow.
What
is this? Unheard of. I wonder, it's an interesting timing.
Mm-hmm.
How much of that was spurred on by Xbox yesterday, obviously, yeah, with their streaming project coming out and talking about that.
Yeah, I always wonder what they're doing, like, you know, behind the scenes, kind of like what encourages them to just be like, oh, I guess now is the timing to let a little info out or things of that nature.
Yeah, David from Upload VR, a former co-host, he had tweeted this out, and so I thought originally it was, mm-hmm, oh, they confirmed that they're working on a PlayStation VR 2.0 or something, yeah, of that effect, and then it was like, oh, no, it was this, and it's like, yep, okay. You know, it's another one of those, like, of course you are? Like, that isn't surprising, I feel. It's cool to know. It's a great headline. Hey, to everybody who just clicked on this one because of it.
Yeah.
But not that interesting. What is interesting is number two on the Roper Report. Over there is Call of Duty 2019. That's right, next year's Call of Duty, mm-hmm, coming to the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Scarlett. Jawad Ali over at SegmentNext.com has this report. Infinity Ward posted a job listing on LinkedIn that its current description is hinting at the possible cross-gen Call of Duty game. This is the LinkedIn posting. Come work with the game industry's brightest on an exciting, unannounced next-gen title. The candidate must have a strong interest and passion for first-person shooter games. Now that unannounced title is most probably going to be Call of Duty 2019. Every year, Call of Duty games are released by different developers, including Infinity Ward, Sledgehammer Games, and Treyarch. 2019 is going to be the year for Infinity Ward. Infinity Ward has made some of the best games, including the Modern Warfare 1, 2, and 3. I'm sorry, 2 and 3. The mention of next-gen possibly means that Call of Duty 2019 will arrive on the current PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, as well as PS5 and Xbox Scarlett. Now, What makes this interesting is that Infinity Ward was the same team that brought us the cross-gen Call of Duty game before. Infinity Ward brought us Call of Duty Ghosts, which was playable on PS3 and PS4, Xbox One, and Xbox 360. Josh, you buy it?
No, I'm probably not.
No. I don't mean. I mean, do you believe it? Do you think that this next Call of Duty game is the 2019 going to be the year of the new systems?
I don't know. That seems.
That seems super aggressive.
Everyone keeps saying I keep seeing a lot of people being like, "Are we going to get the new systems? The new gen of that?
Yeah, your next gen.
We just got the incremental gen upgrade very recently. So, I don't know. 2019 seems super quick, but at the same time, I feel like a lot of tech stuff lately has been moving
leaps and bounds
really rapidly. Not even necessarily leaps and bounds, but just oh shit, we got to get this out kind of stuff, or let's push because I don't know whatever's going on in the world. People just keep pushing to the next stage,
sure,
kind of thing. So I don't know. 2019 seems really quickly. I would have assumed 2020 personally, but
yeah, I mean that was my. The hypothesis and timeline I've been kicking around, mm-hmm, mainly for PlayStation, because this Xbox up until yesterday, sure, was a little bit more vague on what was going on. I thought we would see announcement / release in 2020. You hear about, hey, here's what it, mm-hmm, is, PlayStation 5, whatever they're going to call it. Then that fall, roll out the system, or spring, because, mm-hmm, they've done that March 2021 being, hey, that's when really some stuff's happening. 2019 seems so quick, and not to mention that if we're including Xbox Scarlet in the conversation, yeah, the Project Cloud thing from yesterday, or xCloud, they were just talking about, right, that's, all right, we're doing this, it's going to be super small run, we're testing it right now, we hope to get it, that doesn't seem like that's going to be ready for next year either.
No.
But again, to your point, it is all incremental. And what we're talking about, right, in the Financial Times, right, report, the sources are saying that the upcoming console for PlayStation, whatever, 5, might not represent a major departure from the PS4, and that the fundamental architecture would be similar.
Yeah.
We imagine we are on this PC run, right? Where,
sure,
it's just the next one, PlayStation 5, Xbox Scarlet, whatever, is going to be pretty much the same innards you have now. Obviously higher def, easier 4K, yada, 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 all that crap. But it's not going to be this giant, tremendous leap.
No, I mean, I don't think, what I've been kind of expecting, again, with this, I use the term incremental, is it feels like every system from moving forward, we are just kind of taking these more kind of I feel like it's kind of like how the iteration on cell phones kind,
yep,
of thing. We're doing that. It's not, your jump from PlayStation 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 4 kind of thing.
Right.
It's not that. It's just oh, cool, the next upgrade that's going to play things slightly better. Oh, that's, a little bit better graphics, or, oh, a little bit better this. But it seems like there's also more of a focus on allowing people to stay with the previous gen, at least for, a small amount of time at least. So,
well, I mean, that's where it gets real interesting,
yeah,
right? Is I feel like the next boxes, I'm just going to call them, right?
Yeah, sure.
Are totally going to be, yep, we play your PlayStation 4, we play your Xbox One game, and in Xbox's case, we have the backwards compatibility, so even further than that. And they are moving to that Steam / PC infrastructure of just, mm-hmm, yep, everything you've ever, why wouldn't you be able to play all these, yep, different things? And so when you get in there, it gets interesting of, well, what is the selling point for a PlayStation 5? What will determine next generation? Is the next PlayStation a PlayStation 5, or is it just PlayStation Pro 2?
Yep.
You know what I mean? And how do you, yesterday we were talking to with the streaming stuff. A listener wrote in, oh man, I bought an Xbox One in 2016. I kind of feel like,
no,
I made a bad investment. Where, yeah, I agree with you that it's going to be like cell phones, where these things are just every few years there's going to be a little bit better version.
Yeah.
But when do you cut it off and put out the next big boy?
I think a lot of people forget that the game industry compared to other industries is still relatively new.
Yeah.
I mean, not cell phone new, mind you, but it still is a relatively new industry. So things keep getting changed. A lot of us grew up with this whole idea of, you pre-order, you rent this, or whatever your shtick is to get the new system for the holidays.
Yeah.
I don't think we're really in that anymore. Maybe for the next generation, we're going to still be somewhat, but I think we are going to be shifting away from what a lot of us grew up and spent our teens and 20s.
And that's definitely what we've already started, mm-hmm, to see, right? I know now it's whatever, but it was when these incremental consoles of the, mm-hmm, PlayStation Pro and Xbox One X and everybody, what, for a second when they were being rumored, was up in arms, right?
Yep.
And I was very vocal of why would I buy this PlayStation 4 Pro? I already have a PlayStation 4. Da 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 da. Right.
Same.
And I was I'll buy it when mine breaks or whatever. And eventually did that, and it was fine. But it's it was a hullabaloo about nothing, where people really didn't care. And it also isn't. It hasn't been the end times like we were worried about, where it was going to be games that were releasing with PlayStation 4 Pro upgrades were running complete garbage on PlayStation 4, and there have to be all these disclaimers and war. It's just, it doesn't happen that way.
No.
So yeah, it'll be, this next gen is going to be incredibly interesting, because it feels like it's going to be completely different in the way that it's very, very similar.
Well, I'm like just really excited about it at this point because it's not just from a tech standpoint. I'm really, like, my side of things, I'm really curious from a business and marketing standpoint how they're going to appeal to people, how they're going to appeal to consumers with this kind of, again, this semi-new idea. Like, how are they going to pull them in? Because, I mean, that's what it's going to really boil down to if it's, anything's a success. Whatever the tech is, the diehard PlayStation people are going to buy the next PlayStation. The diehard Xbox are going to buy the next. The diehard just video game, you know, generalists are going to buy both kind of thing. That's a given. But how are they going to mass market appeal to people to move on from their PS4s or the PS4 Pros to PS5?
And that's the thing, right? Somebody I wrote in. And I don't think it made the cut because it's a question we get a lot that I just didn't feel like we would stumble into or is that, you know, needs to be credited. But, like, what do you want to see in a PlayStation 5? Like, what improvements do you want on the next Xbox? And it's just like, I don't know. I don't like how PlayStation organizes the apps to what view things now. That sucks. Can we go back to the old way? Like, that's, like, such a weird little thing. And, like, obviously name changes. Obviously, you know, the stuff you've heard before. But in terms of, hey, here's the next big thing. This is why you got to buy a PlayStation 5, why you got to buy an Xbox One X2 or whatever the fuck they're calling it, Xbox Scarlet. Yep. Xbox Scarlet even, I feel, makes more of a sense. Mm-hmm. Of like, hey, it's a beefed up Xbox One X. It's even more powerful. There's more teraflops. And there's this new streaming service thing that we've made that works really well with it and does all these different things. That, okay, PlayStation, I don't know what you do.
I mean, I think it's really a case of a lot of time with these things, since we're not working on these devices, these things, we can't come up with, you know, what's that dream thing? Because it's just, I'm at a point where I'm like, I'm happy with my PS4. I'm happy with my Switch. I'm indifferent to my Xbox One personally. But
when I have to turn it on, it's fine.
It's a great Netflix box. Anyways, you know, but it's a case of where I'm more or less happy with where I'm at with stuff. So I can't really fathom what's going to bring me to that, you know, into the next generation other than the games available on it kind of thing. But I also am a PC gamer. So it's kind of like, what's going to pull me to make me play something?
And that's why yesterday, you know, I tweeted out about the show and I was like, hey man, you know what, this super exciting Xbox announcement. I was surprised, of course, I shouldn't be, by the amount of flack the tweet got of like, fuck Xbox, what are you talking about, it's not exciting. But I'm just like, and somebody like, well, PlayStation's been doing this. I'm like, not like this, not where it's streaming on any device and they're saying there's not going to be latency and it's going to be like just a controller and a phone. And like, that's exciting because that's brand new. And sure, we can make an argument for On Live or whatever, stuff like that, even Gaikai before PlayStation. But to see what that's going to be and the idea of a unified, just I'm playing my games anywhere on any device is cool and interesting. I don't know what that looks like next generation. Games in, everybody's always like, you know, somebody asked on Gamescast, I think, where we're going to be in 20 years. It's like, Jesus, where are we going to be in 5?
Yeah.
What does next generation even look like? I don't know.
Yeah. 20 is way too far ahead to even remotely imagine.
Cockroaches will rule the earth by then. Yeah. Number 3, Borderlands 2 VR has been announced for PlayStation VR in part of the 2-year anniversary of the PlayStation VR launch. Borderlands 2 VR will release on December 14th, 2018 for $50. It is single player only. Here are the bullet points from the official release. Blast bandits with real world aiming, punch bully mongs in the mouth, find the perfect gun inside a life-size treasure chest, and inspect it from every angle. Catch a ride and race across Pandora in first-person view and experience the thrill of a psycho running towards you with a grenade in hand yelling boom time. Borderlands 2 VR includes new features unique to the VR experience to empower vault hunters in their fight against Handsome Jack. With badass mega fun time, aka BAMF time, players can now use this new slow-mo ability to literally slow the speed of the game temporarily to set up their next attack. In addition, with the option to teleport, players can glide across Pandora as gracefully as Claptrap, if he had grace. Take on the role of one of 4 playable classes: Siren, Commando, Gunzerker, and Assassin, each with unique combat styles and updated skills that leverage the new VR functionality, including the BAMF time ability. With the use of the motion controllers and headset, players can interact with the menu systems in a new and intuitive way for the platform, easily navigating through the menus by pointing, clicking, dragging, and dropping. Players will also have the choice of preferred movement styles, whether that's the VR popular pointed teleportation or the classic direct movement style with joysticks. Your experience should feel good for VR in true form to classic Borderlands. What do you think?
I mean, honestly, I didn't think I would like reading this initially, I didn't really think I'd care as much. I like, I really like Borderlands 2 a lot, but you know, it's not a game that I've really ever gone back to after my first kind of like play.
Oh, you didn't play it all over Vita? When it dropped on Vita?
I never had a Vita.
Oh, wow. What the fuck? Really? You call yourself a gamer.
It's fine.
Thank you very much. Constantly calibrating Justin. He's the real one.
Well, I actually wanted a Vita. I just couldn't afford it at the time. And, you know,
Shouldn't have had those kids.
No, I really shouldn't have.
Don't listen to that, kids.
No, if you want to do this kind of thing, don't have kids. Seriously, no, don't.
They just eat up all the money.
Yeah, no, all the money all the time. But Borderlands 2, I enjoyed the game a lot. I didn't really think I'd care about a VR version of it necessarily. But thinking about that experience and, you know, the whole, what does it say here? The whole players can glide across Pandora's gracefully kind of thing. Like that thing, I was thinking myself, like using the teleport feature or even just walking, like, for the visual style of Borderlands, that actually, I think actually would really be a fun time and would actually get me back into the kind of the Borderlands mindset almost.
What's interesting about it for me is I feel I'm hot and cold on it all at the same time. Where it's like, oh man, you know, I love my PlayStation VR, obviously. When they talk about life-size treasure chests, right? Going into a vault and like being able to look in, you know, every direction and see it, hold the gun, look at the gun. That all sounds really cool. And it does definitely make me interested and want to try this. But then for me, it's a huge thing of no multiplayer.
Yeah.
Where for Borderlands, for me, is so defined by multiplayer. And I played a lot of it at solo, but it was the best with people running around and doing things. And so taking that away is interesting. And I was talking to a friend about it last night. And the conversation was, well, yeah, but you know, PSVR is install based. There's probably not that many people ready to play. And I was like, I don't know if I can buy that because when the game's great, you don't have to worry about it. Whereas like Firewall Zero Hour, right? Yep. Firewall Zero Hour, you jump on, there's people to play with, and there's a dedicated community. And I feel like Borderlands being such a name, PlayStation VR, the audience being so hardcore and so dedicated, that if this came out and was awesome, and I'm not saying it's not going to be awesome, but if it came out and was a thing, I think you totally find people do that. So when we get in there and talk about teleportation, that's when it's like, well, is that Borderlands anymore? And not that I'm that guy, because I'm about to, later on, we're going to talk to somebody about Assassin's Creed Odyssey in the same vein. I don't know. I'm interested. I want to play it. I think it'll be a cool visual delight to be in. But is it going to feel good is my question.
No, that actually be my question as well. But for me, it's just like my entire thing is I don't necessarily want to replay Borderlands 2.
Right.
But
well, this isn't.
But what I'm saying, but it's like to just be able to hop into the Borderlands world to just, you know, for a few hours, I don't know if it'd be worth the money at that point, but like the few hours just to hop around, look around, that kind of experience.
Yeah.
That would at least get me interested.
And you raise a good point there, too, of like, yeah, it's not Borderlands 2. Mm-hmm. So how long is this experience? Yeah. How much is there to do in it? You know, is it a very driven narrative campaign where I'm only doing very specific things? Or is it all open world and I'm all over the place and I'm doing the Borderlands thing of just, you know, going out and finding Handsome Jack and doing this? I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll have to wait and see. It's an interesting announcement for sure.
Yeah.
Shout out intrigued to that 2-year anniversary of PlayStation VR. That'll be important when we get to new dates coming up.
Yep.
Number 4, an interesting one from Jason Schreier, Kotaku. Microsoft is close to buying Obsidian. Microsoft is finalizing a deal, and this is a rumor, of course. Microsoft is finalizing a deal to acquire the independent development studio Obsidian Entertainment, according to 3 people briefed on the negotiations. We don't know if ink is on paper yet, and plenty of major acquisition deals have fallen apart in the final hours, but those close to the companies believe it's all but done. One person with knowledge of the deal told Kotaku they'd heard it was 90% finished. Said a second person, quote, "It's a matter of when, not if." Obsidian, best known for its work on critically acclaimed role-playing games like Knights of the Old Republic 2 in 2004 and Fallout New Vegas in 2010, has been independent since it was founded in 2003. The Irvine, California-based studio has long been beloved by RPG fans, but has often faced financial strains, nearly going out of business in 2012 before it signed a deal for an online tank game and launched a Kickstarter for the isometric throwback that would become Pillars of Eternity. One compelling argument for the sale is that being owned by a company with deep pockets will offer Obsidian stability and resources the likes of which it has never had before. Quote, "We do not comment on rumors or speculation," said a Microsoft spokesperson. Quote, "Unfortunately, we don't comment on rumors or speculation other than to say that the Rumors album by Fleetwood Mac still holds up," said an Obsidian spokesperson.
That's what makes me so
in the best. No comment. We don't comment on rumors and speculation of all time. Obsidian. Brilliant.
Easily. God, that just made me laugh.
Yeah, no, I saw this morning you were in the room when I busted up and had to read it aloud to Nick. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Obsidian's so talented. Mm-hmm. And again, what we were talking about yesterday, and there's been a theme of shows for a year, every kind of Funny Games Daily. Microsoft is on a tear, and they are building such an awesome foundation. And mm-hmm. I think the foundation of the programs they had, and I won't beat the same drum I've been beating forever. The programs, yesterday with the streaming, and then the E3 investment of these five studios that we're bringing on board. You get Obsidian in there, too? Like, mm-hmm. think about it. Like, Fallout New Vegas is fucking awesome. Mm-hmm. Old Republic 2 was awesome. If you get it in there and you're like, cool, we see that the success that Guerrilla had with Horizon, here's our open world RPG from Obsidian that is financed and exclusive and fucking awesome. Yes, 100%.
I'm absolutely in favor. And I'm kind of paraphrasing something that I read earlier, but essentially just the idea that you take these really talented people with a company that, to be fair, did almost go out of business, yeah. as mentioned here a few
years
ago.
It's been on the ropes, right?
Yeah. Been on the ropes, you know, so it's just like to actually give them the financial backing to
make cool shit.
To make cool shit and keep people employed. What's not to like about that?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, that part alone, but I've loved what Obsidian's done for years. So it's awesome it's awesome to see. I'm really curious then to see once the money starts coming in, once they're able to.
What does that look like? Right. What does it do? Yeah, exactly. So that's one to watch for sure. I'm sure it'll be confirmed here in the next few days if it all goes through.
A solid acquisition if it goes through.
Another great announcement for XO18. Too as well, down in Mexico City next month. Number five, this is a Red Dead Redemption 2 morsel. It's from @RDOnlineNews on Twitter. They tweeted the following tweets. Info: if you turn off the minimap, NPC's dialogue will change, giving you directions involving routes and landmarks. Because this tweet blew up, and there's a lot of cynicism, the source of this information is a Dutch magazine titled Gameplay, with the info being translated from @GTANet. So, it's one of those things of, take it with a grain of salt, I don't know these publications, I don't read Dutch. What a fucking fun idea, though, if that's true.
Like, this is such a cool idea. Like, what I love about this is it's literally a completely and utterly different way to play of a thing. That, like, people always talk about immersion. I've never been that person who's turned off the HUD, the UI of games, because the way my brain goes is, I'm playing a video game. I know I'm playing a video game. How much more immersed? But for pure storytelling purposes, the idea of, you know, I'm told to go to this town, and the only way I know how to get to this town is, you know, follow this road past that mountain and past this peak, and you'll see this off in the distance, however they word it. What I just imagine is that's going to add, like, gameplay time too. That's going to add the amount of time that's going to add, because that exploration idea. Like, I kind of want, I don't know if I'll ever play multiple playthroughs of Red Dead Redemption 2, but it makes me want to play, like, one with just video game, you know, mini map on all that stuff, but play it again, like, once I know the game, be like, just go.
Yeah.
Just go off into the wilderness.
It's an awesome idea. I think if it's real, for the rest of the conversation, we're assuming it's real.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like something fucking crazy Rockstar would do.
It's that details thing they're so obsessed with.
Right.
With just putting the things you would never think to put in a video
exactly.
game.
Exactly. The theme of the open world games this year is, hey, we want it to be real. We want it to be a living, breathing world. And it brings me back to Assassin's Creed Odyssey, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's been getting a lot of, I think, deserved praise for the exploration mode, right?
Sure.
Where rather than be guided and here's where you go directly, it is, all right, they're in this area, they're known to hang around this region, you have to kind of figure it out where they're going to be. I have been playing the entire game that way, crossed 40 hours last night, playing that entire game that way, right? And I'm like, man, I want to beat the story before Red Dead gets here, yada, 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 blah, 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 blah. And we had a lot of good conversations yesterday, right? The conversation of, well, is it grinding? You know, you get to this thing, you got to this level. Mm-hmm. We were talking about the leveling with Kevin and the XP and all the microtransactions and stuff like that. And we're having these questions of, well, like, you know, I don't like the gap, or I didn't mind the gap, and da, 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 da. Last night it really hit me and sunk in for me.
Okay.
Where I'm 40 hours into the game, I was trying to, all weekend long, I was like, I'm going to do the story. Oh my God, the story's so good. Oh my God, the side quests are so good. Da, 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 da. Last night was the first one where I think I really probably achieved what they wanted in the game, where I was like, cool. Oh man, the next thing is way over there on the other island. You know, I haven't unlocked this part of the map. I haven't gone through this yet. Like, I'm just going to go. Like, I'm not gonna be hung up on this anymore, right? Because it was this thing of, well, we had the conversation yesterday of the difference between, hey, I've hit this level cap and the next story mission is locked 8 levels ahead of me or whatever it was. And I was like, well, they want to compel you to play side missions. I think it's more they want you to feel like you're just part of that world, and that's just going to encourage you to do other things and not worry so much about it. And that's what I found myself last night doing, of like, cool, I'm going to go this way. And I ran into more randos that had fucking crazy side quests as always. Like, excellent storylines, excellent acting. Cool. What is this going to lead to? Oh, my God, it led to this. I didn't expect that. You know, beautiful vistas, new things to find. And I was running into... I have such a full quest log, just other shit that was helping me accomplish quests that I wasn't expecting to. But it was that thing of, it was the first time last night where I took the yoke off of like, I got to beat the story. And instead I'm like, I'm just going to exist. And I was like, fuck, I really like that, right?
Okay.
And that I feel is like what exactly what Red Dead wants as well. Where it does want, turn off the HUD, what do you care? Go to the old man, and he's going to be like, oh, go up the thing, and when you get to the big tree, take a left, and then you'll find Sue or whatever the fuck, you know what I mean? Like, that's awesome and exciting and great, but similar to what we're talking about of, we got to rethink what console generations are. I think you got to rethink what a game is.
Yeah.
In a way of, I don't... It's, you know, getting to level 50 and being able to do all the cool shit in Odyssey is great. And, like, being the story, I want to see how it all ends. But I don't know if that's even the full experience anymore. Like, the experience is, like, living this life as Cassandra, just like they want me to live this life in Red Dead.
Well, that's something I had to teach myself recently, because I've spent most of my life where I had to finish a video game to... feel like
gotta roll credits.
Yeah, I had to roll the credits. I had experienced that whole thing, and I had to finish, like, truly do everything and finish a video game. And then again, I have two kids. Yeah. I have a wife. I have all this shit going on. That's just not a viable thing anymore. Right. So I would, but I'd get myself, like, almost depressed because I wasn't finishing the game. But then finally, like, this, I guess it's like this year, I've been like just playing stuff, just existing in the world. And I would like to, you know, if I really enjoy a game, yeah, I'll get to that end point. I'll get to those credits. I'll you know, do that whole experience. But otherwise, it's like, you know what? Let's just explore this world and see what's been created here.
Yeah, and that's, and I think back for me, it's, you know, when I platinum Spider-Man, and then, you know, it released or whatever, and then it was like, oh, you get that ESU suit. Oh, I got to finish off my secret photos. Finish off the secret photos. And then it was like done. Mm-hmm. And it was that post-game depression. Of like, fuck, I just want to, I could have done a million more things in that world. I could have just lived, blah, blah. And to get Odyssey now, and what you assume Red Dead will be, of just like, guess what? I never have to leave these worlds. You know what I mean? It is, like, you know, I think there's been a lot of talk online of like, oh, Odyssey is just Skyrim with a better perspective. Oh, it's similar to The Witcher. And you're like, and? Okay, yeah, I get it, yeah. But like, this is the first time where I'm like, man, I could legitimately see putting hundreds of hours into this, because it will be like, sure, I would love to platinum this. I don't know if I'll ever have the time, but it's just gonna be that never ending gobstopper of like, cool, I'm gonna pop in and fuck off and do that. And like, same thing with Red Dead. And again, this is the problem with our fandom and our interest in our jobs, right? Of cool, well, this other game that's very similar to that is right on top of it. So like, am I gonna be able to actually do, yeah, you know what? I'd rather do something with Cassandra right now than this. You know, no, I wanna see enough to be able to talk about everything, blah, blah, blah. But like, even with Odyssey, how much more of that game can I just fucking give a blowjob to? Because it's amazing, right? And I've already said that. So, like, that's done. That, you know, we filed that. I'm amazed with everything that happens. I have enough personal anecdotes for it. So now that's just, like, personal time, right? Yeah. I should really go home tonight and put on the VR and play Astrobot. And, like, actually have something to say about that on Gamescast. But, yeah, I don't know. These two games that are worlds that are real that I want to be part of. And I love the characters. It's crazy.
No, that's, I mean, that's kind of, yeah. I agree wholeheartedly.
So now with kids and obviously these huge games out, how do you choose what to play and how, you know what I mean? And keep multiple podcasts and a business running.
I mean, honestly, I don't play as much as I'd like to. I don't have as much.
Do any of us?
No, I mean, but it's a case of, actually lately I've just been exhausted, but for the most part, I'm fortunate. One of the fortunate things of being a small content creator, you know, kind of thing, is that I'm not required to play every AAA game and every indie game and stuff like that. I used to try to do that, and it drove me insane.
Of course.
So I kind of just come with the thing of, what is our fan base? What are our people of interest? You know, what do they want to see?
What's the audience want from you?
And it seems to be what we want to do, because that's where we are now. So pretty much, I stream what I feel like streaming, or want to do a review on things like that. That's kind of what I focus on. And when my personal time, play time, it's just, you know, it's whatever. I was playing Spider-Man from, you know, 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. every night.
Jesus.
To finish that.
How much sleep do you get?
Sleep? Yeah. Well, no, to be fair, when that came out was when my youngest was 4-ish months old. So that transitional period. So I was up. I already knew I'd be up with him. My shift with the kid is about 10 p.m. to 3 a.m. anyway. So it's like, I might be up feeding that kid every couple hours anyway, so may as well play video games until I pass out the desk and the kid wakes me up. But, you know, now I moved on to Pathfinder Kingmaker. It's kind of been my thing, and that's kind of what
I'm not even familiar with this game.
It's just it's a Pathfinder game made by Owlcatsu, I think, but it's again, we're doing pen and paper stuff, so I'm exploring that kind of thing. And but like that's just I just pick what I want to play kind of thing and see where I go from there. Okay. And but at the same time, you know, Spider-Man comes out, Red Dead comes out, you know, I'm gonna tackle
hits
those
keep
things,
on coming, right?
You know, there's some things you just gotta play.
Yeah. I hear you. Number six, final item on the Roper Report. I didn't brief you. You know what happens next? I'm going to give you a bad transition. You read that.
Okay.
Number six, Guerrilla Recruits, a Rainbow Six Siege multiplayer devs for an unannounced game. This is from Vicky Blake over at Eurogamer. She writes, Guerrilla Games has been acquiring talent from Ubisoft's Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege team. An eagle-eyed member of Reset Era via Push Square noticed the Horizon Zero Dawn developer had recently taken on a couple of Six alumni, including game director Simon LaRoche, who joined Guerrilla 9 months ago for a game described only as, quote, secret game is secret, exclamation mark. Before this, I'm sorry, that's not right. This is LaRoche's second stint at Guerrilla, having previously worked on Killzone 2 before leaving the studio to join Ubisoft in 2009. Chris Lee, who'd been an online and multiplayer designer for Six, has only this month taken up the position of principal game designer on, yep, you guessed it, an unannounced Guerrilla game. What do you think?
I mean, I'm curious. Like, I mean, that's just a curiosity thing. You know, Constant Calibrating, we play a lot of Rainbow Six Siege.
Yeah.
So, you know, kind of seeing that transition of things.
We shot Andy in the face and team killed him, and he never put it back on party mode, so never played it again. Yeah.
Yeah, no. I mean, I got really upset during the last stream we did because I'm really bad at the game. I'm comically bad.
Yeah.
And I won't play with my team anymore.
Like, I just drag you down. Go on without me.
I am literally the worst at that game.
Yeah.
But I still love like how the game is put together and stuff like that. So to see this team move over to work with Guerrilla,
a couple guys from you.
I'm really curious.
Yeah, I wonder what it means, right? Like, is it a return to Killzone? Is it going to be a new IP? Is it going to be something in a multiplayer spinoff for Horizon? There's a million different ways it could go.
So many different directions.
Yeah, and it's interesting. And it's worth pointing out, you know, years and years and years and years and years ago, I did a coverage for IGN of a GDC panel led by Herman from Guerrilla, in which he talked about them, you know, working on three different games. And I want to say it was Killzone 3 was the one we knew. Then one of them was Horizon, but we didn't know that, obviously, and there's something else. So it's not, you know, they work on multiple projects over there.
Sure.
I wouldn't put it past them, you know what I mean? And I'm just putting this out there, right? We're spitballing. What could it possibly be, right? I wouldn't put it past Guerrilla to be tinkering with PlayStation VR. Sure. I wouldn't put it past them to be tinkering with a Horizon multiplayer VR, let's go, you know, take down some dinos experience, you know, not a 70 hour campaign or something like that, but experience. Hey, here's a fun way to go get a Thunderjaw, you know, or you can go take that stuff on. I don't know, I think that would work with the first person perspective and multiplayer experience of Rainbow Six, but then again, it could just be Killzone, and who knows,
it could just be Killzone. And again, just because this team previously worked on Rainbow Six Siege multiplayer doesn't mean
it's multiplayer.
Anything. Literally they could pull in any assets from there. They could just be coincidentally, you never really fully know. It's a safe assumption, semi-safe assumption, that it's going to be multiplayer, but you know,
we'll see. But we're not going to see for so long.
Yeah.
Josh.
Yes.
If I wanted more imminent news, like say what came to the mom and grop shops today, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show hosts each and every weekday.
Out today, the C64 Mini. That Commodore 64 Mini is officially out. If you missed it, you can go see the Kind of Funny Games cast up right now on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, where we open it up.
I still have a Commodore 64 to this day in my house.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Well, here you got the Mini. You're all set. You can throw that away finally and get this thing going.
I like
I guess it's actually only on the post show that we unbox it. There was a Games Daily last week with Gary Widow where they got unboxed with Jared, and I'm pretty sure a lot of you people hated it, according to Jared. So maybe don't go see it, but if you want to, there you go. Sci-fi VR shooter Evasion is coming to PlayStation VR, HTC Vive, and Oculus Rift today. Cineris Somina is out now on Playism and Steam. Disgaea 1 Complete is on PS4 and Switch. Goosebumps the Game Switch. Cool, Greg. Get on the mic there. You've been excited about this Goosebumps Switch game forever, but then you found out it's just an old game?
That's an old game they're bringing back on Switch for the first time, but I guess it's already been on Xbox and shit like that. But I'm still excited to play it. I'm just going to wait a little while. Maybe my next paycheck and make that happen.
Okay. Wow. We can get you a code probably.
I already hit them up. They didn't respond.
Who's publishing it?
Game Mill, which is super close to your name, and it freaked me out.
Game who?
Game Mill.
Game Mill. Yeah. Oh, like Greg Miller.
I guess. But they haven't, Game Mill, Greggy too, but you know, they haven't used their Twitter in like 3 years, so.
No, I'll look into it. We'll get you a Goosebumps code. Don't worry. I can take care of you. Home Sweet Home comes to PlayStation 4. Mark of the Ninja Remastered comes to PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. My Memory of Us, PS4, PC. Space Hulk Tactics, PS4, PC. And then Stranded Deep was supposed to come to Xbox One today. It was still listed on the Kotaku article I dragged from, but I saw a little bit of scuttlebutt. And so what I'd like to do is tell you a sad story. Yep. I take you to Beam Teams Games on Twitter. This is, of course, the developer of Stranded Deep. On September 20th, they tweet, "We're super excited to announce that Telltale Publishing is bringing Stranded Deep to consoles on October 9th. Check out the trailer below. Pre-orders are available now." 1 day later, on September 21st, they tweet, "We're actively gathering info in light of the recent announcements from Telltale. From our side, there's been a lot of hard work from everyone involved, and we'll be doing absolutely everything we can to ensure the release and success of SD on consoles. We'll keep you posted." 4 days later, on September 25th, "Hey everyone, unfortunately we still don't have any news on the status of SD's console release. We are urgently trying to find out everything we can and we'll update everyone as soon as we know more." Then, yesterday, 2 days ago?
2 days ago.
2 days ago, on October 7th, quick update. "Stranded Deep has been pulled from both PS, or the PlayStation and Xbox stores, as far as we can tell. Release was on schedule, but tight before the bad news hit. So it seems unlikely it will be released on schedule. We will keep everyone updated when we know more." And that's the last thing they said on this day.
That just hurts me on an emotional level.
We've talked so much about how the Telltale story gets shittier and shittier and shittier. To then totally, I won't lie to you, I totally forgot that Telltale was trying to do publishing stuff. To have it, the arm of this, right? They announce it the day before Telltale's like, "We're done. Everything's done." Like, and then to be lost and be these indie developers just left out hanging in the wind on this. God damn.
It hurts. Like, it legitimately hurts. Like, it's a story I just, you think is done.
Yeah.
And then just more layers.
More and more.
And then this one, I mean, it's just like, what is,
can
what
you happened? Imagine you're this indie team, right? You've been working on this game forever. Beam Team Games again. And then, yeah, you're like, "We're done. We're getting with Telltale. They're going to be behind us. All this stuff. They're going to get us on consoles." And then have it all, I mean, in a matter of weeks, right? And they, September 20th, they announced this.
Yep.
And here we are in October 9th, and it's all falling apart.
Yep.
Fuck.
It's brutal. It's really what it boils down to. I legitimately cannot imagine what that experience would be like. Just the fact that they announced it, and then the next day, all the Telltale stuff happened.
Right.
Like, their studio just must have been just completely frozen.
Right.
Like, in fear.
And then not to be able probably to get a clear answer from everybody, because everybody's been fired, and you're just like, "Oh, Jesus, what's going on?" I'm urging everyone in the Kinda Funny Best Friend community, please go on Twitter, at Beam Team Games, Beam spelled like team. Give them some love. You know, say, "Hey, you're feeling for them. You can't wait to play the game." Maybe that's a lie. I don't know. I'm not going to put words in your mouth about the game. But just go give them a pat on the back, man. Give them a hug. Also out today, Super Blackjack Battle 2 Turbo, The Card Warriors on PS4. Fuck. Kevin, is everything okay over there?
Yeah, everything's totally fine.
Can I please see a trailer for Super Blackjack Battle 2 Turbo, The Card Warriors? Because I need to know, is this just a blackjack game?
Yeah.
And then it's the Platinum Easy, because that sounds like something I'd be on. And then WWE 2K19 is on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC for everyone. New dates for you. Planet Coaster World's Fair Pack is coming October 16th. Puzzle game Evergarden is coming to Android this fall. Fitness Boxing is a game that's coming to Nintendo Switch exclusively on January 4th. Metal Gear Solid 2 and 3. Oh, I'm sorry. This isn't a new date. This is out today. Metal Gear Solid 2 and 3 HD is on Xbox backward compatibility today. Here's some of the stuff I was talking about earlier. PlayStation VR's second year anniversary. Some announcements for you. First off, Astro Bot Rescue Mission. You've heard about it. Everybody loves it. I told you months ago. None of you wanted to listen. Now y'all care, though, because reviews are great. Fuck you. It's a free demo. That's out on October 16th. Then, Kevin?
Yeah?
New Firewall Zero Hour DLC is launching October 16th, 2018. Megalith is officially launching on PlayStation VR on January 8th, 2019. You can pre-order and get a free trial kickoff November 13th. And then, Hellblade is getting a retail edition coming to Xbox One and PS4 on December 4th. You want to throw this up? The kid, we're looking at Super Blackjack Battle 2 Turbo, the Card Warriors. If you're an audio listener, it's looking like some Sega Genesis shit. It's like this guy's just sitting here doing cards. Will they show gameplay? Is it just Blackjack? That's all I want to know. Is it just Blackjack? Kevin's predicting just Blackjack. Kevin knows it's just Blackjack. Again, it's just been a guy fucking throwing cards around. It's a 14-minute... Well, what am I... Okay. Okay. It looks like it's Blackjack.
Yeah.
Huh.
Is there anything... What's like special?
Huh. No, it just looks like you're playing Blackjack.
All right.
I'm very interested, Kevin. Very interested.
I like Blackjack.
Hold on. We're gonna circle this so Greg doesn't do it, and then I'm going to write... interested. Then I won't forget that I'm interested in that, everybody. Yeah, not that I ever look at these notes again.
No.
Because again, I shove them in a thing and then we're giving them away. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames fan mail, but I'll talk about that later. Deals of the day for you. Players who pre-order any digital edition of Red Dead Redemption 2 from the PlayStation or Microsoft store by October 15th can jump into GTA Online anytime this week to earn an extra cash bonus of $1 million. Not too shabby.
Not too shabby.
Then Microsoft's announced the Xbox One S Minecraft Creators Bundle. It's going to be available soon at retailers globally for $300. What it includes is the Xbox One S with a 1 TB hard drive, 4K Ultra HD Blu-ray player, and 4K video streaming. That's just what Xbox is. Xbox controller, full game download of Minecraft, 1,000 mine coins for use in the Minecraft marketplace, starter pack DLC, Greek mythology mashup, plastic texture pack, skin pack 1 and villain skin pack, creators pack, adventurer's dream mashup, and winter mini games festival by Nox Crew, relics of the privateers by Imagiverse, pure BD craft texture pack by BD craft, pastel skin pack by Anajima, and the Wildlife Savannah by Pixel Heads, and then a 1 month Xbox Game Pass trial so you can play 100 great games out of the box.
You could tell I haven't played Minecraft in a while because I didn't understand a word you just fucking said.
I know. I haven't played Minecraft in a duck's age. You know what I mean? I think I played it when it came to Switch, and that was the funny thing because I had been playing it on Vita for so long, mm-hmm. and then I was like, oh man, I got it on Switch. I haven't seen the updates because they stopped kind of doing Vita plays, and then you jump in, I was like, oh man, this is a different game.
Yeah, my wife randomly decided she wanted to play Minecraft with a friend of hers, and apparently her PC version... Only Windows 10 does the whole play with everyone. Yeah, crossplay. Yeah. She has Windows 7 for some reason. I can't remember why we never. It's her computer. She barely.
Didn't you see the updates? Constantly begging you.
Yeah, no, she doesn't look at her computer. But you know, so I somehow ended up buying it for her for the Switch. So I've watched her play Minecraft a little bit. I'm like, I don't know what the hell's going on here. But you know,
are there still creepers? I don't know.
Yeah.
Justin from Constantly Calibrating.
Yes, Greg.
Can you get me more water?
Yeah, I could.
Thank you so much. Cool Greg's working hard. Kevin's running around. While you do that, I'm going to tell you it's time for reader mail. But first, it's brought to you by Brooklinen. I sleep on Brooklinen sheets, and I love them. They're comfy. They were cheaper than going to the store, and they're easy to order. You go online. You can mix and match for any decor. See what the color is going to be. Pick your favorite colors. Have them shipped straight to you. They're amazing. Brooklinen sheets were named the winner of the best of online bedding category for good housekeeping. Brooklinen is the fastest growing bedding brand in the world with over 20,000 five-star reviews. They have a small business approach, from being run by a husband and wife to being involved in every step of the manufacturing process to a customer service team that cares so much they remember the customers by name. Different colors and materials to choose from. My Brooklinen sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets I've ever slept on, and that's saying something because I sleep a lot. Brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer to my listeners. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so sure you'll love the new sheets that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all their sheets and comforters. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code GAMES. Brooklinen. These really are the best sheets ever. Thank you, sir. Look at you. Waiting, finishing the ad to bring in the water. I see why you keep them around, Josh. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and plus he's easy on the eyes.
Now you have a sexual harassment suit for Constantly Calibrating.
It's all it is.
I hear you. Zach writes in. Obviously, we've been talking about streaming for a while here, all these different things. Zach wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, while every company seems to be announcing game streaming services, game journalists and fans all seem to think it will come many years from now due to the slow internet and high latency we currently have. Although it seems with the new wireless internet services like 5G and satellite internet, parentheses SpaceX, super fast and low latency internet could be a reality in just 1 to 4 years. Keep in mind, these technologies are much quicker to deploy than having to lay down all the wires for traditional cable/fiber internet. Here is an interview from the Verizon CEO on 5G. If you go to this minute mark in the interview, he mentions the latency for old cellular networks was very slow. But with 5G, it will be 1 millisecond. If that's true, the latency would be unnoticeable. The best TVs today have 10 to 20 milliseconds of input lag.
Sure.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
It's that thing of, no question, just more information. And I think as we get into internet and how all that shit works, we get way outside of my wheelhouse on any of this. And that's why I was excited and am excited with Xbox and Google and PlayStation you know what I mean? Of like, we understand there's a market here and we're going to figure out the pain points now so that hopefully when the internet catches up, and it is that, in the middle of Nebraska, you can get 5G beamed to you and there is no slowdown. There is no problem. It'll be there. We'll see, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's just really just waiting. I mean, at this point, it's all good ideas. It's all great, the really cool concepts and things of that nature. But if the actual tech of the internet doesn't match up, then there's really only so much you can do. So we'll see as stuff slowly develops.
As everyone starts racing towards it, I feel like there'll be more pressure to get these kind of solutions out there. And that's what you need, right? You need people pushing for it if you want that to happen. Whisper writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "Hey, Greg and Josh, how do I deal with the fact that Fortnite is probably my favorite game of all time? With all the modern games out now that I love, such as God of War, Spider-Man, and Super Mario Odyssey, parentheses, the rightful 2017 game of the year, you're correct, sir. Or even my favorite last-gen games like Arkham City and Halo Reach or Sly Cooper 2 and Pokemon Emerald, to go even further back in my earlier gaming days, I always go back to Fortnite as the game I enjoy playing the most. There's just something about squatting up with a group of friends and winning games in Fortnite that is so satisfying. Even after 250 wins, every win is just as exciting as the last, and every funny moment is just as funny as the last. Have you ever had a game that you can't stop thinking about playing that distracts you from other games? Whisper." I like the end of the question.
Yeah.
I don't like the first part. How do I deal with the fact that Fortnite is probably my favorite game of all time?
It's your favorite game of all time.
Congratulations. You found your favorite game of all time. Fuck anybody who wants to give you shit for that.
I don't get that mentality. I've never understood the mentality. I always have this thing where whatever's your favorite game, whatever's your favorite movie, whatever is your favorite whatever, it's your favorite.
No one should be allowed to shame you for what you like and don't like, unless it's PC gaming.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even like you're like legitimately saying, it's not like you're making a comment like this is the de facto best of the entire world.
Yeah.
You're saying this is what personally matters to me. I've had some weird choices for favorite things over the years, but they're
lay them on me.
The Crow is in my top three.
The
favorite
Crow
is one of my top.
Brandon
three
Lee's The Crow.
Brandon Lee's The
okay.
Crow.
Okay, yeah, that is a weird one.
It's a weird one. But it was my first rated R movie. Probably seen it a couple hundred times.
Jesus.
At this point. I mean, that's a weird choice and not most people.
But fuck it. What do you care?
But that's just something I like, it's just, we all have our things we enjoy and things of that nature as far as the question goes.
Yeah. Have you ever been distracted by other games?
Something I just can't stop thinking of. I mean, right now it's probably Spider-Man because regardless of what I'm playing, I keep thinking to myself, I want that new game plus to come out because I just want to go back into this world and just explore. And not that I can't do that right now, but I do want to experience the story again. I do want to experience things. And new game plus would I guess make me feel a little bit better versus just restarting and doing it.
Right. It's that weird thing of new game plus, there's something new to achieve, right? Whereas, we could all restart Spider-Man right now, but what is the carrot theme to stick for that? What is the thing? For me, it's trophies, right?
Sure.
Like, in new game plus, I would love to play Spider-Man again, but I'm going to have a hard time justifying if it's just, hey, new game plus is there. It's like, what does it add? I don't get what it adds.
Yeah, and the only thing I could think of is the original Mass Effect for me, because that just used to be something that no matter what else had come out, I would just speedrun that game out of boredom. You know, just like nothing to do for 5 hours, 6 hours, let's just go beat Mass Effect 1 again kind of stuff. You know, just stuff like that kind of thing.
Have you ever had a game that you can't stop thinking about that distracts you from other games? For me, I mean, it happens all the time, I guess, but the one I always think about is DC Universe Online.
Sure.
Whereas, like, when I fell down that rabbit hole and then fell down it, again a year later and then another year later, like, it's the problem with an MMO in the same way people are finding, like, Andrea with Destiny.
Yeah.
Like, Andrea and I have access to every breaking brand new game, right? But when I sign on to play Spider-Man or I sign on to see Assassin's Creed, I see her doing something in Destiny because there's also things to earn there and things to do. And if you love a game, it's such a hard thing of, like, I always talk about it. I'm more of an in-the-mood gamer, right? And it's that thing of I have to be in a mood to play a certain game. Like, Overcooked 2 I love, right? But when it first dropped and Jen and I played it and Jen's like, it's not for me. I was like, well, I'm not going to play it by myself. And I'm not hungry enough to like grab Joey and make her come over and play it with me. I waited for my friend to come, and now that we're right there for Platinum, I'll probably play it with Extra Life for Joey, with Joey at Extra Life. But DC was that game of like, cool, I was still reviewing games at the time. I have to transition, and it was that thing of like, fuck, I want to beat this to go back to that, or I can't wait to be done with this to go back to that.
Yeah, no, I think, I mean, my feeling is, you know, what you said, MMOs, and then these days, like, games as a service kind of games,
yeah,
I think are the most prevalent for that, because, yeah, I didn't even think about it with the initial question, but, like, World of Warcraft, Star Wars Galaxies back in the day, like, these are all games that I became incapable of playing other games, and really of taking even care of myself properly, because I would be, you know... You know, I'll wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'll play a little WoW, and then I'll go, you know, meet my then I'll go meet my girlfriend for lunch. Then she suddenly signs on at lunchtime, and the next thing I know, it's 5 o'clock in the morning the next day, and we both have been playing the whole day.
Yeah,
that was a date technically.
Yeah, that counts. Yeah, sure. Yeah,
I married her one day. So
exactly, it all worked out in the end. Yeah, I think you're actually doing it right, Whisper, where you're talking about you're playing all these different games and then coming back to Fortnite. That's the way to do it, right?
I think that's impressive. Honestly.
Yeah, that's why I appreciate a game I can go in and roll credits on, feel like I'm done, and why Odyssey and what I assume Red Dead are going to be this really new beast for me of like, cool, I don't have to finish this now. I'm a totally into Cassandra's story, but if I take it more like television of like I watched an episode and I can move on to something else, that's the way to handle it.
It's like almost creating your own episodic content inside your own mind.
Yeah. Where do I want to go with you? 55. I mean, Zach from Indianapolis, writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, I recently watched 50 minutes of gameplay of Fallout 76 over on GameSpot, and I couldn't help but notice a drop in frame rate from time to time, which pulled me out of the gameplay. While that's not anything new to the franchise, I figured Bethesda would try to improve this piece of the game. I was wondering if you had a chance to demo the game yet and what your thoughts have been thus far. Do you think the frame rate issues could be fixed prior to the release of the game? Zach from Indianapolis. I think it's important, Zach, to point out, you're talking about a pre-release, unreleased game. So what you're seeing is not final, and who knows if that'll really be there. The Greg Miller take, that will 100% really be there. and I think, yeah, I think Bethesda does want Fallout 76 to run spectacularly and beautifully and never chug and never do that. Remember, they're taking, with all due respect, an already janky game that I love, that I fucking love, a janky series, right? And now adding in a whole bunch of multiplayer elements and a whole bunch of real-time shit that's going, like, that game is going to be, I imagine, fun. Maybe not my kind of fun. I'm not sure yet. And maybe not run well in the beginning, and maybe I have a lot to figure out. I don't know. But like that, this is very much, and I hope I'm 100% wrong, going to be one of those, like, you're signing up and you're signing up for the Bethesda Fallout experience, which means, yeah, it's going to be have problems. Have we previewed it? No. There was a big preview event that a whole bunch of people went to. Kind of Funny was invited to, but it was a preview event in West Virginia, and it was a preview event over multiple days. And I was like, oof. Yeah, I'd love to play it. I would love to do that. We're too small a team for us to for one of us to fuck off that long and go play it.
Yeah.
What is your read on Fallout 76?
I mean, this is really all I can say on it is it was a game I did not care about whatsoever prior to E3.
Previous Fallout or Fallout 76?
I didn't like Fallout 3 personally. I enjoyed Fallout 4 enough. I played the classic Fallouts when I was younger, but I didn't care about 76 really. I'm like, okay, that sounds like a thing. That sounds cool. But then during Bethesda's conference at E3, I went to literally the point where I'm like, okay, pre-order the power armor. I didn't end up doing it. Justin did. But I didn't end up doing it. But the game's been in my mind, and I've been really thinking about it. But at the same time, you said it. It's a Bethesda game that's adding a lot of new elements in. I mean,
But
what I personally love about Bethesda games is the fact that they are kind of beautiful, incredibly well crafted, sometimes clusterfucks, you know, but in like the best possible way. So I'm really curious what they're going to do with it. Will I play it? It's scheduled later this year, right?
November, yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, Red Dead again. It's going to be the problem of timing of things. Eventually, I'll certainly play it.
I'm super interested. I have a ton of questions, which will play into something I'm doing later this month, I think, that I'll tell you about when I can. But I just signed some deal. But it doesn't matter. questions will be answered by Greg, or questions will be asked by Greg Miller at some point. But we'll see. I want to be excited. I love Fallout. Yeah. But right now, it is that thing of like, I need still to be sold. And I haven't gone and watched the gameplay. I haven't seen a lot of preview coverage. Yes, and I actually need to go do it, because it's that thing of I don't want... I don't want to know things about games, but in a game like this where it's like you're taking one of my most beloved IP and putting it into this thing, I should actually do due diligence on it and figure it out. Evan from Virginia writes in with the final question. It's super simple. That's why it's there. Hello, Greg. I love your idea of the fan mail tier. Remember, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames all the month of October. You go there. You support us. We're sending out my notes from Kind of Funny Games Daily and Gamescast. But my question is, if what we receive is random, I've asked a few questions and would love to receive back my show notes with my own question. You've only answered once on air. Two, if you read this one. Thanks for keeping me in the loop, Evan from Virginia. Evan, I love you to death. No, they are totally going to be random. we also do not have time for Cool Greg to go through and try to track them. But I would urge you, once you do it, to go to the Reddit, go to the Facebook group, start a whole like, hey, my question was asked on this day. Who got that? Trade them my cards. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD with your questions, comments, concerns, bad PSN names. No, that's all right. Not bad PSN names. Just your fucking names so I can get people hooked up to play games with you. And the best friend's fine. Everybody has fun. Jacob needs help in Destiny 2. He put out his Battle.net, which is Solstice, #1931. Solstice has a zero for an O. I'm not even going to read it out loud because it's one of those names. Cool Greg's putting in the description of the YouTube video. Right, Cool Greg?
Yeah.
Hey, best friends, I know a bunch of people have been diving back into Destiny 2 with Forsaken, and a lot has changed, and it can be a pretty daunting thing to get back into the groove of. If anyone on Gasp PC needs help or a clan to play with, feel free to hit me up. I know PC groups and players can be intense, so I love finding new players to guide through raids and exotic quests. If anyone needs a Sherpa, I'm here to help. Hit up on Battle.net Solstice, #1931. That's Jacob. I have a new segment called Assassin's Creed Clapback. Yesterday, I was all out here being like, I don't think it's that grindy. I didn't even give a shit about the microtransactions. And I said, very specifically, if you are playing Assassin's Creed, I would love to know your opinions rather than people on the outside being like, oh, microtransactions are bad. I wasn't going to play the game, but the microtransactions suck. more than three, but you all were kind of saying the same thing. I have three people to read from here. Joaquin from Norway says, I have spent thousands of hours in this franchise and earned the platinum for every Assassin's Creed game multiple times. And he goes, psnprofiles.com/lol_joke_with2k97. I never felt any push towards using Helix credits or the need to use more money on this game. If you need an example of AC trying to push Helix credits, play a couple hours of Unity. Odyssey is the best and the most restrained use of microtransactions the series has ever seen since they were implemented. And then he goes, Angry Greg voice, please. This is not Assassin's Creed anymore. Odyssey is a goddamn AC game. AC games is about history, traversal, and the fight between freedom and control, which all are present. Oh, so he said he was. Oh, I see what you did here, Joaquin. He's saying it. He was arguing against the people saying it's not an AC game. He says it is a goddamn Assassin's Creed game. Assassin's Creed games have always been about history, traversal, and the fight between freedom and control, which all are present and a vital part of Odyssey. Stop bitching and enjoy. And I just think it's a fucking awesome game, regardless if it's Assassin's Creed. So, yeah. RJ from Spain wrote in and said, I would like to contribute about the Assassin's Creed Odyssey XP boost. I was playing the game without the boost for a total of 16 hours, and I did not have any problem. And then, same as Greg, saw the Polygon article, and since I'm loving the game, and I always like to be over-leveled, I decided to get the XP boost. 6 hours later, I'm finding myself to be too over-leveled for my current story missions, so I don't think that the argument the game was designed with this boost in mind, and it keeps bugging me all the hate the game is receiving and prompting Jason Schreier to tweet about it. I hope that people can see this game is great and not dismiss it because of the microtransaction controversy. Jared from Australia wrote in. Hi, Greg. Yesterday, you asked people to write in with their experiences of Odyssey and the XP grind. I was just about to write in saying I find it fine and was able to progress doing mostly the main story quests with just a few side quests now and then to stay up to the required level. But I'm around 30 hours in and just finished a story quest with a recommended level of 24, and the next main story quest is level 32. What the fuck? So unless I've missed something, I'd have to grind 8 levels, which is probably around 10 hours of play, just to be able to continue the story. It's a major buzzkill to be invested in Cassandra's story and be forced out of it to do other things for 10 hours just to progress. That said, I am really enjoying the game a lot, and the side quests have been mostly enjoyable. But this puts a bit of the downer on the game for me. Jared from Australia. A valid thought, Jared. We said our thoughts yesterday where I disagree with you, but that was yesterday's show. I think it's all part of the same story. Today, I'm just living it. I'm just living as Cassandra, loud and proud. But I hear you, and I thank you all for writing in with that. Josh,
Greg.
It's time for You're Wrong. We ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to write in to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we screw up as we screwed up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. Only 9 so far. That's usually prompts somebody right now to be an asshole and write in with something.
Sure, sure.
Kebab says there's currently 76 days until Christmas. Thank you, Joe. You can go to hell with this sum. Lord of Pwn says November 2019 would make the PS4 Pro 3 years after the PS4 and 3 years before PS5. Okay. Okay. Somebody's thanking us. That's not helpful. Okay. Lord of Pwn says you can play PS4 games on Android devices. You can also play PS4 games on your PC or Mac via remote play. Those use your own PS4 to stream, but using PlayStation Now, you can stream those games on your PC. Good point. Fair point. I still think that Xbox is doing something different, but that is true. Well, Zaire says New Dated Left Alive is coming to North America and Europe on March 5th. BG2580 says, you forgot to say Fortnite Battle Royale is getting a physical release. I was unaware of that and haven't seen that anywhere. Zaire says, new dated. Gear.club Unlimited 2 is coming to Switch on December 4th. Oh, and here Zaire actually gives more information. Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment and Epic Games have announced a physical edition of Fortnite called Fortnite Deep Freeze Bundle on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch for $30 on November 13th. The bundle includes the Frostbite outfit, a glider, pickaxe, back bling, and 1,000 V-Bucks. So not even that many wrong.
No.
Just things that happened while we were live or we didn't see stuff.
Yeah. Some additional notes.
Josh, did you have fun?
Yeah. Definitely had a lot of fun.
Where can people find you?
Well, for me specifically, you can find me Twitter at Bear Punch. Pretty simple.
Bear Punch, okay. Bear,
yeah, BEARPUNCH.
That's one way to do it, sure.
Yeah, it's a thing. It's something to do. You can find Constant Calibrating at ConCalPod on Twitter. As I said, Mixer.com/ConCalPod is where we stream most of our stuff. YouTube.com/ConCalPod is where most stuff goes up. You know, a lot of our interviews, things like that, podcasts. If you look on iTunes or Spotify, kind of our two main places, Constant Calibrating Podcast is the main one up there. A few other shows will be finally starting to actually release regularly in the coming weeks. We got my big thing, as I said, the Proper Villains podcast. I would love people to check that out.
Sure.
I think October 28th is going to be our first live episode.
Okay.
Playing some Vampire the Masquerade 5th edition.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, that'll be an interesting experience. And then from there, yeah, I think that covers just about everywhere.
Awesome. You did a great job today.
Thank you.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. KindaFunny.com/KFGD. Watch it live. Twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. Watch it later. YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames. And listen on podcast services around the globe. Tomorrow, Gary Witter returns to the show to host with me. But until then, it's been our pleasure to serve you.